Luke's Gospel 24, verse 25. In this instance, he went across the scriptures, Darmenio, that is, he used scriptures to interpret itself. And that's the closest of the epistles that we have, to use the scriptures to interpret itself. In Matthew 13, we saw why he used parables. Matthew 13, it says, why did he speak in parables in verse 12? Matthew 13 and then verse 12. Verse 13, I speak to them in parables because they see and see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So the use of parables is because of the spiritual capacity of the audience. So we'll be looking at the teaching ministry of Jesus. No, the teaching is in Christ, understanding Paul's revelation of identification. So there must be a reason for his revelation. There must be a reason for his own doctrine, as well as his own gospel. Let's look at a few things that Jesus said. Matthew 13, 34 again. He said, all these things were done or spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. And he says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now that is Psalm 78 and verse 2. Let's look at it. Psalm 78 and verse 2. It's reported that this was taken by Asaph. In verse 1 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. So, he uses the word parable there as an explanation of the dark sayings. So the parables are not the dark sayings. The parables are the explanations of the dark sayings. The word dark sayings is the word shiddah, which is a riddle. Okay? A riddle is what requires, is like a question. It requires explanation. A riddle. But the word of old is what I'm particular about, is the Hebrew word qedem, Q-E-D-E-M, or gedem. It's used for the east, firstly used in Genesis 2:8. So, used for ancient times, Deuteronomy 33 verse 15, what is before. In other words, the prophet Asaph is prophesying about this ministry of Jesus, where he will use comparisons, okay, of natural things to explain, to answer the questions of old. So, in other words, by what was done here, Jesus came to fulfill scriptures. Let me just add to that. You know that whatever was a dark saying, we explained this on Sunday, whatever was a dark saying, which is the word musterion, chida and musterion, are one and the same, right? We've done that. Am I correct? Okay, good. So, that is, what was dark in this, what was the riddle about? The riddle was about Jesus. So that already shows you that every parable in the four Gospels was about Him. Every parable was about Him, and that should be the focus. Every parable was about Him. Okay? So go to John 14. So even in the parables, He was explaining Himself. He was explaining Himself in the parables. He was not, like we said on Sunday, he wasn't teaching any other thing. He wasn't teaching commerce. He wasn't teaching kingdom or nation building. All his explanations were focused on himself. Because that's what the parables were. If it's a mysterion or a chida, it's an explanation of a mysterion, a mystery, or an explanation of a parable, a riddle. All the riddles were about himself. So go to John 14. And let's begin to build a case. John 14. verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Pause very, very well, because we want to unlock a few things in that verse. Notice the word, in you. In you. You see the same term in verse 20. I in you. We have seen it earlier in John 4:14. Shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Without much ado, that a language you will find in the epistles. Precisely more in the Pauline epistles. So I say in you. Okay, very good. That's vital. Okay? So he says, I will ask the Father, I will pray the Father, which is the word erotaho. There are words used for pray. There is the word deesis. There's also where you call aiteho. But this one is erotaho. Erotaho means to speak from a preferred position. That is to ask because of who you are. Let me ask you. Jesus didn't say, I have asked. He said, I will. That is, what will be that preferred position? He's at the right hand. So, it's not like something he couldn't ask there. No, he didn't want to. But no, it's something he could not. He had to be at that preferred position. So, he is at a position which is the right hand of the Father. Because that's what he said. By the time you look at it in context, and I will, upon his resurrection. We've already said in the last session that Jesus focused, here on his post-resurrection person. I will ask the Father, erotao, and he will give you another comforter. Now pay attention here. That he may abide with you forever. Now the word in there was actually imputed by the King James. It is silent or absent in the originals. He says that may be with you. Because it's the word there, there's he is present, it's not a pronoun, it's a verb. It's the word emi, E-I-M-I, to exist in you. E-I-M-I is a verb, not a pronoun. Abide with you forever, okay? It says another, which is the word alos. We'll check on that shortly. It says, even the Spirit of truth. May be calm and listen well, because we must know. When it says, even the Spirit of truth, we need to backtrack a bit and look at verse 6. I am the way, I am the truth. So, in that discussion, who does he call the truth? Himself. Are we together? Okay. He calls himself the truth. Now, there's something that's confusing there in 16, whom the world, 17, because it sees him not. Now, the question is that sees him, sees the Spirit. Let's backtrack him. It's a discussion. In the same text, look at it, John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He that has known me, if you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have what? He was talking about who now? Huh? He was talking about himself. Okay? Show us the Father. He said, have I been so long time with you and you have not known me, Philip? He that has what? Seen me has seen the Father. How then do you say, show us the Father? So, when Jesus says, because he sees him not, is he talking about looking at or is he talking about knowing? Does it make sense to you? Please pay attention. Pay attention. So let's read it. So Jesus started by saying, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And he now interchanges with that, you have known me, you have known the Father. So bring that to 16, where he says, the Spirit of truth will work on him because he sees him not, neither knows him. For you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So he's saying that because the Holy Ghost was on Jesus. No. Don't go carnal. The next verse. I will not leave you, I will what? So who is the E in 17? Look up. Let's take it step by step. If you have seen me, you have seen. If you have seen me, you have seen. Why does he change the pronoun? Because he knows him not. Who will be the him? Eh? The what? The. Why? If you have seen him, you have seen. The verses are giving you issues. Remove the verses. If you have seen, okay, let's start from 6 to 8. If you have seen Jesus, the Son, you have seen. If you have known him, you have known. Okay. I will ask the Father. He will give you the same. I started by saying, when you see me, you have seen the Father. Now he will give you the same that will abide with you, the same comforter that may abide with you. Okay, the world cannot see him. Okay? Because does not know because they don't see him. You know him, for he dwells with you. So who is he talking about now? Huh? Who is he talking about? Who is he talking about? Who is he talking about? The Father. He dwells with you and shall be where? Then he now says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Why is he saying I again? Because if you see him, you have seen. Okay? Verse 19. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, and you see me. Does it make sense now? Aha. Because I live, you shall live also. Now let's take 20 and slowly. Aha. I am where? And? You in me and I in you. Is it making sense? What's making sense? What's making sense? Don't separate the statements. Let's start all over again. He that has seen me has seen. Sir, show us the Father. Have you been long with me and you have not known the Father? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have known me, you have known. So the world does not know him because they don't see me. Does it make sense? I can change that statement to me. And I'm still not incorrect. I can change even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot because they see me. Is it me and I that is giving you confusion? Huh? Are we on the same page? Okay, I can change the him to me. Not me, I'm talking about Jesus. And I'll still be correct. Will I still be correct? Why? Can I change the because they can't see him to because they can't see the Father? Will I still be correct? And put it in your Bible. Don't go say yes, sir. Don't be afraid. Put it. Are you there? Because the opening statement was, I go to my, no man cometh unto thee. So the issue was who? So the spirit of truth is the spirit of who? And the spirit of the, you slow down again. The spirit of the Father is the spirit of the, is it clear? So don't let the me, him confuse you. He had cleared that for you between verse 6, in fact from verse 1. He said, believe in God, believe also in me. Okay? Okay. Are we together? Is it making sense? So, don't let the me, him, and say, no, what we have in salvation is, we have the Spirit of God. Then the Father now joins. Then the Son joins. Don't be confusing yourself. Okay? Are we together? Okay. Now, look at 26. Okay, in that day, which day? Huh? You will know. Okay? There's one more I didn't even see. Okay, because I leave verse 19, you will leave also. Okay? All right. Look at 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Okay? So he uses Parakletos, a word used only by John. Parakletos, John 14:16, John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:7. And then 1 John 2:1. Who does he call the Paraclete? Huh? Ah? 1 John 2:1. Who is the Paraclete? We have an advocate. It's the same word though. Paraclete. Who does he call Paraclete? We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus the righteous. What does it mean? We have a rep. Is it a rep or a class rep? Hallelujah. Let's slow down. So, the Paraclete, John 14:16, John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:7. It's not used by Paul. I'm just saying, John use it. So it now says another comforter. Another is same of a different sort. That is the same thing elsewhere. So can we simply say that it's just saying Christ in you? That's where we have been going. Does that make sense? Christ in you. Can we say Christ in you? Because the Paraclete is who? Christ. Christ is the Paraclete. So, the John 14:16 or John 14:17 is Christ in you. Would that be safe? Would that be a safe conclusion? Thank you.
So when you say alos, alos will mean what? Huh?
Now,
don't be a bad man. Let me use it. Is it? I don't know if it's because I call your illustration.
Now, this.
Okay.
This book is in my hand. It is a book. Right? You can see it. Right? I give it to you. This is another.
It is with you, shall be in you. So he used the word allos because of location. Does it make sense? Have I tried? I'm not as good as Jesus' use of illustration, but I think I'm okay. Did I try? Eh? Does allos make sense to you? Why did he use allos? Because of the resurrection. Okay? So a change in location. Alright? Does it make sense?
Alright.
Someone said, is Pastor teaching about Trinity? No. I'm not even close to it. But just follow through.
Look at this. Paraclete is from the word parakaleo.
It's difficult to know from John's writings because he used it alone. I mean, no other person used it. So parakaleo means close up or beside. It's often used for lawyers. But close up or beside. Someone, in fact, why it is used for lawyers is because the lawyer will take your place and argue for you. But it's parakali. You know, para is come close. Para, kaleo, call close. So, it's someone that comes so close to you. So, it uses paraclete to explain what now? Huh? Wait, I just said he is with you. Paraclete. He will be in you. Still a paraclete. Do you understand? But another changes the whole picture. The one with you shall now be where? Does it make sense? Are we on the same page? Should I go over it again? I will. Paraclete means someone who takes your place or is close by. Okay? So he says, he is with you, shall be. So what is the same there? Why does he use allos? Because of that change. Should I go over it again? Ah. In that scenario, who is the paraclete? He is with, the father is with. Though it becomes allos when he is now in, but it's the same. Is it clear? Should I say it all over again? Eh? I've taught this thing before now. Eh? What were you doing then? Let's go over it again. He is with... Who is with us? The Father. Not you. He is with... If you have seen me, you have seen... So, another will now be what? The Paraclete comes closer. Rather than being with, he is. That's the use of the term another. Is he okay? But it's the same. Not a different one. So, who will be in? Yeah. Leave it. just hold on. But at least you understand paraclete. It's not teacher, strengthener, comforter, don't. It just means someone who is with you. Okay? It's used for lawyers because they stand on behalf of others. They are for them in the court. But it's not talking about standing for someone. It's talking about locating within. Because we're talking about location. with, and now. Is that okay? Okay. So, in the four Gospels, they had the paraclete with. In the resurrection, it's paraclete. Is it clear now? So, it's first John 2:1 with the Father or with the Father. Look here. Where are you going to write nonsense? I was describing something. Is it with the Father or with the Father? He said, I will come to you. How can you be looking up? Think he's at the right hand of the Father? He's begging the Father for you. He said, I and the Father will come and make our home. So don't think 4 John 2 1 is, you'll be looking up. Whatever, do I have an advocate with the Father? And your hand is going up. You are losing it. Hallelujah. Wait. Our fellowship is with the Father. Hallelujah. Is that okay? Let's come back. Come back. John 14. See, John is tight. John gave us some good light. But you see, I have many things to say to you. See, he said they cannot bear them. And you see how you are bearing it. You always tell me, yeah. Okay, John 14:26. Are we making progress? But the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Okay? Look at the word remembrance. Is the word hupo mimesco. Hupo is used 7 times. Hupo is H-U-P-O-M-I-M-N-E-S-K-O. Hupo mimesco. It's not about bringing to your remembrance like something you forgot. No. It's calling your attention, putting your attention on something. Luke 22:61. Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. 2 Timothy 2:14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. Titus 3:1. 3 John 10. 3 John. I will remember his deeds, which he doeth. So, when I say I will remember his deed, and Jude 5 as well. I will remember is not that. It means I will put your attention on the things he did. So when he says, we'll bring you to remembrance in John 14, pay attention now. To the things I have said to you. Now, what are the things he said to them? From John 14, here. Are you following this? Be specific. So, the Spirit or the Comforter will unveil what? What I think he said to them? Identification. Because from John 14 to John 16, you will discover that Jesus was talking about identification. Where I am, you'll be also. I am the vine, you are the branches. He was unveiling a union. You know, his prayer in John 17 was the same thing. So, it means what the Holy Ghost will do will be to unveil who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Is it making sense? Those are the things I've said to you, the parable of the 10 virgins. No. Is that clear? It's to focus on the things we just said now, on the resurrection. Who I am in the resurrection. So, the Spirit of Truth will point the attention or will bring the attention to the facts, or we call it the post-resurrection realities. Let's stop there. Is it clear? Is it clear now? Is it clear? It's not for you to remember, he said to them,
he said to them, the parable of the tears. No.
The things he said to them, where I am, you will be also. So it will bring your attention to those realities. So you can't find those realities explained in the four gospels. Does it make sense? But we have a preview. Remember what we're talking about is in Christ, Paul's revelation of what? Identification. Did he just form them? Was he just excited? No. Look at this. So we have two things. Have you observed something? That two things stand out in Jesus' teaching in John 14 to 16. The first will be, and follow the order. The first order will be what? Identification, then information. So, identification precedes information. It's very important to get this. So when he says the things I've said to you, he is specific. Very, very specific. Go to John 15:26. Is the comforter very clear? Huh? Is the comforter clear? So it's not comforter that I say sorry. That is there for you. No. Someone close by. And it's not just close with. It's now where? In. Okay? And that's the language of the new covenant. The language of the new creature. The language of the epistles. Is that okay? Alright. So when he says, I have yet many things to say unto you. You can imagine what he meant now. Okay? Now look at this, John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of who? Huh? Of who? Of me. Why did he call him Spirit of truth? Because he is the truth. The truth about the Father. Say, he is the truth. He will testify of me. That means his testimony of the Father will be me. Please follow this. I want us to track that word, testify of me. Because it's important in this book. In John 1, verse 7. Let's run through it together. John 1, 7. Talking about John, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. To bear witness. John. He was not the light, but came to bear witness of that light. That is Christ. John 1:15. John bore witness of him. Now who was John? Who was John? Who is John? He's still a prophet. Who was John? A prophet. Did he have the same authority as the prophet of the scriptures? Yes. Is that clear? Pay attention though. John 1:32. John bore record saying, okay, John 1:34, and I saw and bore record that this is the Son of God. So, we have seen John's witness as a prophet about Christ Jesus. John 3:11, you have received not our witness, John 3:11, John 3:26. To whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptized and all men come to him. That is John. You can leave that. 28 is the same thing. I am not the Christ. John said, you yourself bear witness. I am not the Christ. I'm sent to be. Okay. John 5:31. Pay attention to this one. John 5:31.
There's another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he bears of me is true. You sent unto John, and his witness is, he bore witness unto the truth. But I received not the testimony of man, but the things I say, that you might be saved. He was a born and a shining light, and they were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given to me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, and the Father has sent me. The Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Hallelujah. 39, 38. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, you believe him not. Him you believe not. Look at 39, closely. Look at 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which, the same word, bear witness of me. You will not come unto me that you may have life. So, watch this. The Old Testament scriptures, which we call the mystery, they bore witness of Jesus. John, as prophesied by the same, came to also do the same thing. Jesus bore witness of the Father, and the Father bore witness of him. Pay very good attention here. Remember, we started from John 15:26, where he says, the Spirit of truth will bear witness of me. So, where is the me? The me is within the scriptures. Are you listening? Good. Now look at John 8:18. These are just references anyway. John 8:18. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bore witness of me. John 8:18. John 10:25. I told you and you believe not. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. John 18:23 and 37. I just post resurrection. 23 and 27. You know, speak about his crucifixion. And 37. You don't need that right now. No. So to bear witness of me, firstly, was a work of the scriptures. So the Spirit of truth will come to what now? To confirm the scriptures. Are you following this? To confirm, or let's use the word affirm, the scriptures. To affirm the scriptures. Go back to John 15. So that means John and Jesus' incarnation were still not sufficient. Because John had come to bear witness. Jesus had come in his incarnation to fulfill the witness. And in his teaching and works. And he says, this is still not a complete witness of me. That means the resurrection of Jesus is not complete in describing him. The incarnation of Jesus is not complete in describing him. There is still further witness outside the four gospels. Let me see if you're following this at all. Are you following this? There's further and clearer witness outside the four gospels. So look at 15. He shall testify of me in God's holy name. Listen to this. He's beg. Like they say in Nigeria, he's beg. He will testify of me. He will bear witness of me. Then he says in 27, let's take it together. You also, Now, let's pause a bit. That means that there were places in this teaching that can't concern both of us, all of us here. There's no way you can do 27. How? You also, okay, will bear witness of me because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, the word also is important. It's the word dehi. D-E. D-E. Used 2,810 times. It's a conjunction.
So that means it is not the same as 26. So the Greek will call it, pay attention, a weak adversative particle. Weak adversative particle is a secondary term placed second in a clause. That is, it is not, it's just added. It is not as important. It's just there. So when I say you also, it shows that their witness is important, but it's not as important. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's not and like the two are the same. No. This is secondary. It's called a weak adversative particle, secondary in explanation. Secondary in explanation. You know, when you describe somebody and now say, you now say so many things. He's also a Chelsea fan. You know, very irrelevant. I was joking. But say, and just say something that is not, he doesn't describe him like other things you have said. Like, oh, when they ask you, for example, if they ask you, maybe you want to apply for a job. And you say, I do this. I say, what are your hobbies? You know, it's not as if they want to use your hobby. Say, I know my hobby. He say, what's your hobby? Say, I like to sell things. And you say, hey, you want this job at all costs. Okay. What are your hobbies? I do this. Okay. I mean, just something. So it's not as important as the first things they said. So when I say you also, it's just added. Because you have been with me from the beginning. So it's secondary. So the eyewitness account is a sec, it has been, Jesus himself used it as what? Secondary. And in Luke 24:48 said, you are witnesses of these things. Same thing. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. Praise God. You shall be witnesses of me. You know that if we look at that verse and we shake it very well, he's just talking to those guys. And we shake it. You know when we shake something and we shake it very, very well. And we really shake it. But don't let's shake it today. So it shall be witness. Let me give you a place where that was used. The word they is just Matthew 1, just one verse. I have many, but that's just one. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Watch this. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then it says, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. What was the principal name? Abraham. So, and Isaac is secondary. Are you following this? Dehe, secondary. What he was talking about was Abraham's lineage. Isaac becomes secondary. Are you there? That's the use of the word they. So go back to John 15:26. So within the gospel, pay attention to this. John 15:26 will be what? Will be the epistles. Does it make sense? John 15:26 will be what? The epistles. Can we say John 15:27 is Acts of the Apostles? Because, you know, they were witnesses, they were eyewitnesses. But you know, was it the upper Sunday we said, Peter himself reduced his eyewitness to secondary. You know, Peter himself did it. So, he said, we have a more sure word. Though we're eyewitnesses, but we have a more sure word. So Peter himself reduced it to secondary, just like Jesus did. And that's why you find out that their evidences of Jesus was almost absent in their epistles. Are you following me? Was almost not present. You won't find anybody teaching the parables of Jesus. Not one person. There was nobody that taught anything Jesus taught. Are you there? So John 15:26 will be the epistles. Are you there? So you don't have to be an eyewitness to teach the realities of the resurrection. That's what we are going. Is it clear? You don't have to be an eyewitness. Have we mentioned Paul? Not yet. But you can see we are opening the door for Paul. Have we? Or I should go further? Okay. So, the gospel, that means John 15:26 lets you see the gospel. This is the epistle. This is the reason for the epistles. That is why the church must feed from there. The epistles are the explanation. So can we say that the testifying of me, let's quickly look at this. What testified of Jesus up till now? The Old Testament books. So John 15:26 will be what? The written word. Is he talking about experience? No. Are you there? The written word. Okay. The Spirit will testify of this in the written. The Spirit that testified of him before now in the written word. And so it's in the written word that we will also see this revelation. John 15:26. Write this down. Jesus didn't speak much of who we are. He spoke of who he is. Why? Because who we are is tied to who he is. So John 16:8. So far, what has been prominent about the work of the Spirit? Huh? Speak of Jesus. Use a better word. Revelation? Information? Was that prominent? You know, we haven't read power in one place, but it was there. John 14:12-13. The works I do, you will do also. And I told you why. Because if you believe in me, you now believe with me living where. That's why I said the works I do, say I do them. Whatever you ask, I do them. Why? Because I will come to you. Is that clear? Don't say we do better than Jesus. Jesus has gone. We have been 2,000 years. Stop. Don't calm down. We just told you where Christ is. Praise God. Alright? So Christ is doing the works. We call it prolonging his days. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Okay. Is this very... Are we on the same page? Alright. So let's go to John 16:8. We'll start from 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is meant for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter. Now, why would he say the at this point? Before now, what was he using? The. He used the twice now. John 15:26. Why would you use the? If I say the, I describe what I meant to you. So he expects you to flow from 14 to 16. Huh? Are we on the same page? 14 to 16. Another with you, now in you. Okay. So, now, verse 7. What did he say? The first thing he said, that the Spirit will do in 14:16 will I dwell where? In you. In that day you will know that I am in you. So identification. Okay? Now, it goes further in 14:26 and 15:26 to talk about testify of me. Testify of me where? Ha. Hello. Testify of me where? Testify of me where? In or is it? Or are we together? Testify of me where? Where? In him. With him. In that day, you will know that I am where. So you testify of me where? Is it clear? Very good. Very, very good. Very good. Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You know the problem with this term? Because he said he will reprove the world of sin. We think that the reproving is only for sin. So it's convenient to use it to mean he will make you sorry. But he used the word reprove for the three. So let's see whether it will flow. He will make you sorry for sin. He will make you sorry for righteousness. And he will make you sorry for judgment. It looks stupid. So far, what is the work of the Spirit? He will reveal. Is it making sense? Okay, so let's look at the word reprove. Many of you can even spell it. Eleko. The thing about that word is that in many places than more than others, it was used for. Let's look at it. Matthew 18:15. Are you learning something? Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go tell him his fault. That is, eleko, tell him his fault. Are you there? Luke 3:19. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias. Okay? Eleko. John 3:20. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds be should be reproved, should be told to him. John 8:46. Which of you tells me of sin? I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Which of you convinces me of sin? That's the word reprove. Can tell me of sin. So John 16:8. Now quickly let's look at other places outside the four gospels. John 14:24 talks about that man, the secrets of his heart are made manifest, then he is convinced of all. is spoken to by all, is exposed by all. Ephesians 5:11. Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, expose them. 1 Timothy 5:20. So can we use, is the word expose better? Huh? To shed light on? Is it better? Okay. 1 John 5:20. No. 1 Timothy 5:20. Them that sin, expose before all, that others may also learn or fear. 2 Timothy 4:2, rebuke, reprove, expose. Titus 1:9, to exhort and to expose the gainsayers, to expose the gainsayers. Titus 2:15. Rebuke with all, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. The word speak is the word expose. Hebrews 12:5. Rebuked of him, you know, Ruth 12, 5, James 2, 9, and Jude 9, Jude 15. So, it means to give evidence of something. So, let's use the word to give evidence. So, go back to John 16. To show two. So, let's say, let's do it like this. When the Spirit of Truth is come, He will expose the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So, He will expose of righteousness and of judgment because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. What is this? Huh? What does this represent? Ha! Was the word world repeated? Huh? Was it repeated? So, let's read it again. It will expose the world of sin. What does the word world mean? Huh? Activities. So change it. Now let's read it together. It will expose. Let's take it again. Take it again. Okay. Go to the next verse. Because I believe not on the next verse. So who is he exposing? Ha. Who is he exposing? Who is he giving evidence of? Of who?
Calm down. Calm down.
We just read 15:26. Who is the comforter testifying of? So, who is he exposing?
Are we together?
Okay. Let's move further. You see something now. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now, why did he say that? Because in 12:31, just put your hands and go to 12:31. Verse 31. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Does it make sense? Huh? So where is the judgment of the prince of this world? It's in him. Right? So everything listed in 7, 8 is about who? Huh? Is the spirit now talking about sin? Huh? The spirit is talking about who? We have been consistent, oh. The spirit testifies of who? So, all the subjects we just mentioned now, sin, righteousness, and judgment will be found where? Are you there? Okay. So don't forget that. So the next verse, I have yet many things to say unto you. About what? Huh? About myself. But you cannot bear them now. Is that clear? Albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? Huh? He will what, sorry? He will guide you to all truth. All truth about, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, shall he speak. He will show you things to come. About who? Why? Look at 14. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, they will take of mine and show it unto you. Now, let's look at how many times does he use the word me and mine between 12 and 15. How many times? Huh? I have written now, so how many times? Me and mine. Say what? Yeah. Please read it again. Oh, sorry, 2:16. Okay, let's start from verse 9. From verse 9 to verse 16. How many times? It's King James that can help you. Me, I'm using King James. How many times?
It's 8 times.
Huh? 8 times. Very good. So, what is the emphasis of the ministry of the Spirit? Okay? Now, look at 16. 16 is so vital. Let's take 16. Let's take 16 together. Let's go. A little while. Okay, let's go. Let's go now. A little while. And again, a little while you shall see me because I go. So, Jesus lays foundation for revelation beyond narration. Jesus already has showed us that when it comes to knowing Him, and subsequently or consequently knowing who we are, it's going to come by revelation. Is that very clear? So, can we say that even the apostles who were present were limited? Huh? They were very limited. Can we say his teachings were not sufficient? So, can we confidently also say that without the four gospels, the church can be taught adequately? Huh? Right? Can we also even say this? Give me the liberty to say this. That being there can be a problem. Do you agree with me? That being physically present can be your greatest problem for revelation. So therein comes the advantage of the man from Tarsus. Are you there? Therein comes the advantage. Do you know that these folks, they were there. They are all fools. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. They elevated their experience, which you and I would have done, above what was written. So Paul really had an edge. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? So don't expect the Pauline revelation to be found in the epistles. In the four gospels. You will see bits of it. But Jesus himself had told you. Last teaching, he put a disclaimer. That guys, you know what? I have yet many things to say. Praise God. But you can't bear them. So let's go further. But Jesus still came back. And he taught them. He taught them now. In Luke 24. He taught them. What was he teaching them about? Be specific. Go back to Luke 24. I told you to pay attention to something. Go to Luke 24. Don't be lazy. I wrote something on the social media 2 days ago, yesterday. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. You see, Bible study demands concentration. If disciples demand concentration, you have to concentrate. You will see that they lost concentration now. Luke 24. Let's track it. I told you, pay attention. A discussion here cannot be lumped to another discussion elsewhere. Notice, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? So the word these things or the things was specific. They were having a discussion and Jesus said, what things? Verse 19. And then they said, Jesus, look at the things they were discussing. Because some of you think that this was the height of Bible teaching. Just wait. They said, Jesus of Nazareth, verse 19, a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all people, was condemned to death and was crucified. Pay attention. 21. We trusted that it had been that which would have redeemed Israel. And besides all this today is the third day since these things were done. Are you following? So they were saying that we have not seen him raised from the dead. So he now told them, this is too basic. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? At that point, when Jesus said enter into his glory, what was he referring to? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he told them in all the scripture the things concerning what he's talking about. It will be his death, his burial, and that is resurrection that they are looking at. Is that clear? They ought to have known this one before he died. This is still not the work of the Spirit of truth. Because in that day you will know that I am in you. And you in me, this one I've not even known that he's there. Are you following me? Those are the things. Because what the Spirit will still unveil to us is in him. Are you following? That's why he said, after he had taught them all that, he said, you know, touch me. And they did. That's not faith. They did. They touched him. Ah, he ate food. Then he rebuked them. Then he opened their understanding that they now understand the scriptures. Hallelujah. Are you following? Because in his discussions with them in John 14 to 16, he brought out what I will still title as we go further, the prepositions of revelation. Powerful prepositions. In powerful prepositions. You will know what Christ has done by the prepositions. In. You can't see it, but in. So, whatever you are writing, if you are there and you are following and you are the best journalist, you will still be writing things you saw. You can't write what is in him. Hallelujah. That has to be by revelation. Praise God. Are you there? John 16, 13. I'm closed. John 16, 13. You learning something?
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all of the truth. Hallelujah. Imagine all of the truth. And the truth is a person. Glory to God. All of the truth. He will guide you into all of the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. The word guide helps us. It's a Greek word, hodegio. H-O-D-E-G-E-O. Very vital. Look at what guide means. Matthew 15:14. Matthew 15:14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Not nice. Luke 6:39. But more importantly, Acts 8:31. That Enoch said, how can I accept some man guide me? Said, understandst thou, hallelujah, what thou readest? So he says, how can I accept someone should guide me? Now, the guidance will be from somewhere to somewhere. Right? Okay? From what? From what? From lack of understanding to understanding. Okay? From confusion to light and revelation. Pay attention. You see Revelation 7:17 as well. That word is always used for distance. Odegos. Acts 1:16. Acts 1:16. Which was guide to them that took Jesus. He took them to Jesus. It's always used for distance. Talking about Judas. Acts 1:16. That one from the word odegos is odegio, but from odegos, which is to take to. Romans 2:19 as well. So the Spirit of truth will take from one point to another. So let's identify from what to what. He will guide them. Now, in talking to these folks, they were eyewitnesses. So the Spirit of truth will take them from what to what? From eyewitness narration to revelation. He will take them beyond the senses. From what their eyes could behold to what their eyes cannot behold. Hallelujah. So that means Jesus already lets us know that revelation is more effective than narration. And so, the epistles become a must. Jesus must be taught differently than what he said himself. He must be explained differently from the four Gospels. From the senses to Revelation. From what they saw to what they could not see. That needs no eyewitness. John 16:13 can happen without an eyewitness. John 16:13 can happen. John 15:26 can happen without an eyewitness. John 16:7, I was trying to say that earlier, to 9 is the gospel. As we preach, he will convince the world, he will expose. Paul calls it the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The unveiling of the mind of God by the Spirit. Hallelujah. The gospel is preached by men, but the convincing is by the Spirit. It will unveil Jesus to the man you are talking to. That's why I always say, let the Holy Ghost do his work. The Holy Ghost being the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ. Let the Holy Ghost do his work. He will unveil. The gospel is not an altar call thing. If people who are around could not be emotionally convinced, is that not true? They could not be emotionally convinced. Those who were looking at him, how much more men that didn't even see anything? It will take the work of the Spirit. So I came not in the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He says, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he says, my speech and preaching, where did you get this right? Was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. Which right do you have? But in the demonstration of the Spirit, which is power. Which right did you have? Were you there for 3.5 years? No. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all of the truth. Praise the Lord. So there's a need for revelation more than a narration. This is why the apostles, the 11 apostles, or those ones, John and Peter, did as much as they could to isolate themselves from the eyewitness. In fact, Peter put a disclaimer on it. Because they know to know Christ is beyond the senses. Hallelujah. It's the work of Christ himself, the Spirit of truth. You're blessed. Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and thank Jesus.